My subject this afternoon is trust in the Lord. Now that's something that everybody assumes is part of what is in Scripture. You're supposed to trust in God, trust in the Word. But oftentimes it fails to govern what people, Christians, are doing. When I was younger, I had heart failure and wound up by doctor's orders in Austin, Texas, to recover my health. I was out of school for 5 years. When I finally got some strength back, the Lord not only saved me during that time, but called me to preach. I was trying to find some place to go to prepare for the ministry. And we didn't know what to do. My mother found an advertisement on the back of a Christian periodical for Bob Jones University. And so she suggested that we write letters to different places and see what happens. Well, we wrote to Bob Jones. They were glad to hear from us. I read what they sent me, and everything I had ever dreamt of was in the literature they gave me. This was a place that believed God's word, stood for the truth, was not afraid to stand against the opposition of the world. And I told my parents, you know, this sounds like a great place. So they got together and prayed over the matter. And my father said, let's go. He quit his job. We moved to Greenville, South Carolina. Didn't know a soul in town. He walked into the Dodge agency down there and told them that he had been service manager of the truck mart in Austin, Texas. Wondered if he could get a job there. The man said, well, our service manager just had a heart attack. He hired him on the spot. Now, we didn't know all that, but my father was there for over 20 years as service manager. And during that time, of course, I went through Bob Jones all the way to the PhD. Now, that's not an accident. That's called trusting God. My parents did that. That's a heritage that I take and treasure. I've had various frailties over the years and struggled with things much more serious than a lame foot. But the Lord has carried me through, and I've never doubted His purpose or His ability to do that. It's a matter of trust. And that is something that every last one of you should be engaged in. If you are going through this world blindly, just groping, you're in for trouble. The pathway is hard. There are all kinds of difficulties that you're going to have to face. But God is Lord over all of them and can direct your steps just as surely as He directed Paul or Moses or any other biblical character. None of them were accidental as far as where they were. God led them, and God will lead you also. I'm going to talk about trust in the Lord. It's a very real thing. Our text is Psalm 2 and verse 12. David urges us, kiss the Son. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. Now we know in the light of New Testament teaching that the Son is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is one of the Messianic Psalms that tell us something about the Lord Jesus. Kiss the Son. In the ancient world, that was regarded as an act of worship, of submission. A great man, such as a governor and so on, the individuals coming to him would kiss him on the cheek. That is obviously a metaphorical way of saying that we should salute God with reverence and respect, for He is everything to us. Without Him, we have literally nothing in this world or the next. Kiss the Son. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. That's not just a pious remark. That's a promise. God knows who is trusting in Him and who isn't. God knows whether you really trust him for things or whether he is simply a last resort that you would come to if you have to. He can see the heart and know exactly the motive that's involved. And the psalmist here is saying, pin all your hopes on him. Kiss the Son. Give him all the reverence, all the worship, all the respect. He is everything. Blessed is the one who does that. In Psalm 9 and verse 10, the psalmist says, they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. They that know thy name. Well, that's a great deal more than just knowing the name Elohim or Jehovah or any other of the divine names in Scripture. It means instead those who know your character. The name in the Old Testament was always a manifestation of the character of the individual. And when the individual's life changed, regularly the name changed. So those who know thy name, know the name of God, the self-existent one, the powerful, mighty rock. Yes, those who know that nature of God are going to find his grace, his blessing, his guidance as they need it. In Psalm 16 and verse 1, the psalmist prays, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Yes, he is asking for immediate help. He's in a situation of danger, desperate need, and he prays that God will preserve him. In thee, he says, do I put my trust. Yes, he's not thinking about the men he can commandeer. He's not thinking about human resources, how he can raise funds here and there and pay for an army. No, he's thinking about God. Those who know the name and character of God, yes, they really do believe. And so believers can ask for preservation, ask for help, ask for grace. It's not a vain request because they know the nature of God. They're sure that the person they are beseeching for help has that help and can give it. It's important for us as believers to recognize this is still the case. When you come before the Almighty with your petitions, you are not just simply repeating words, formulas, but you are presenting before the Lord of the universe petitions that you feel are his will and that he can answer and honor his perfect will by doing so. In Psalm 18 and verse 2, David says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. My, he uses so many different images here to express his confidence in the power and might of God. When he speaks about God being his strength, that's not just a metaphor. David was a weak, frail person. When he faced Goliath, it was not because he was his physical equal. He trusted in God. Goliath had all the strength. David had nothing compared to that, but he had God, and God gave him the victory. Fortress. Yes, a rock can be the foundation for a great fortress. When it speaks of God being a rock, don't think in terms of a little chunk that you can hold in your hand. They're thinking in terms of bedrock. You could build a whole fortress on it. The whole city of Jerusalem is built on a rock, a sheet of rock. That's the kind of thing they're thinking of, a foundation that you can erect great buildings on. The buildings will have such a firm, steadfast foundation, they will not crumble. That is a good image of our trust in God. We trust in him to meet our needs, provide help, to guide us in the right pathway. He can do all these things. We're trusting in God, the great rock, that sheet of bedrock which is under everything. And we must learn to think of him that way. He's not a rock that you can pick up and carry off. In Psalm 37 and verse 3, the psalmist says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Now here's a confession of faith. Trust in the Lord and do what's right. For some people, they're thinking in terms of, well, trust in God and then pull strings and maneuver your way around and get what you want somehow. But that's not what the psalmist has in mind. Trust in the Lord and do what's right. Do good. You don't have to do dishonest things to get what the Lord wants you to have. You can stand firm. This is what is right. We do that whether it's profitable or not. The Lord can arrange the profit. The promise is, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. He'll take care of you. He'll provide a place for you. He'll open the right doors. You will be able to accomplish his will. For many of you, you are young in your life yet. You're not sure what doors you should pursue. Well, commit it all to the Lord. The Lord knows exactly what door you need to go through. Ask him. Ask him for guidance. Tell him you're prepared to go through whatever door he opens, and then watch for the door. It will open. We have to recognize that God ordains our lives and guides our steps. And the psalmist understood that. That trust that is necessary. You're not going through an uncharted wilderness. You're going on his pathway. He knows that way very well. He knows precisely where you should wind up. It will not be an accident. If you walk humbly with him, follow his path, trust in him, even as his word says, you will wind up at the right place and the right time. In Psalm 56 and verse 3, the psalmist says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Now, there's another thought that we should add to this. Many times in life, there are problems, trials, difficulties that we can't solve. We face some things that we don't have an answer to, and we're not sure what to do. Fear can be a very present bedfellow in that case. Well, the psalmist says when he's afraid, he'll trust in God. Now, friends, that's not blind faith. That is very carefully reasoned faith. You serve a God who is Lord of the universe, a God who knows everything that is going on the face of the earth, a God who knows every individual person on the face of the earth, a God who has already planned your steps. He knows what you are supposed to do. That's why you're created. That's why you're in this world. You're walking his pathway. Ask him for guidance. Ask him to show you the pathway. He knows precisely what it should be. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to wring your hands over the future. God holds the future in his hands. He knows precisely what he wants done and how much of it you can do. Trust him for that. If you're afraid, throw the fear out the door. God guides his people. God shows them the path. You may be sure that he will show you the right pathway. In Psalm 91 and verse 2, the psalmist says, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust." Now, we oftentimes encounter difficulties that are intimidating. And we don't have any, quote, fortress around here to hide from troubles and difficulties and enemies and what have you. The Lord is our strength. We know the Bible says that. Here, he is my refuge, my fortress, a place when I can go and find a hiding place from the enemy, a place of protection from those who would harm us if they could. A place where we can be safe in the midst of an unsafe world that surrounds us on all hands. Yes, God is exactly that, a refuge a fortress so powerful that no enemy can get past him. Think of that. Every last person that would keep you from accomplishing God's will has to pass by the Almighty to get to you. Don't forget that. You should never put yourself in a position where you fear the opposition. There may be plenty of it. God is your protection. He is all you need. Nothing in this world can harm you as long as He is your protection. You can rest in that. If we may switch to the New Testament, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul was surely faced by so many enemies, so many people who hated him, tried to kill him, tried to stop his ministry. It was just on every hand. And here he is in Timothy writing one of his last letters. And his comment in verse 10, chapter 4, is, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, specifically of those that believe." All right, here's his pathway. It was hard indeed. He's writing this epistle from prison. That is not a place that any of us would want to be. Now, I have been over there in Rome, in the Mamertine prison, a more miserable hole in the ground I couldn't imagine. It must have been horribly discouraging to be in that place. But you wouldn't know it from what he is saying. He's still serving the Lord. He is witnessing to the prisoners. He's witnessing to the guards. People are being saved in the midst of that miserable prison. He's not the least bit upset. This is where the providence of God has taken him. He is sure that he is right in the center of God's will, and he's going to do it. Right there where most of us would rather not be. But he didn't argue with God. He didn't say, "God, why have you put me in all this? I could be out there preaching, you know." Well, God put him where he didn't want to be, because there were people there that needed to get saved. And Paul was an instrument to accomplish just that. And he remains, to the end of the church age, an example of an individual who could not be stopped. His ministry could not be terminated. God used him all over the ancient Mediterranean world. He was the means of salvation to countless thousands of people. His epistles have been used of God for all these years to convert souls right and left. I myself was converted reading Romans. So I'm immediately indebted to Paul. So, what he did was simply follow God's will. And that meant through persecution, trials, shipwreck, and prison. Nothing discouraged him. Nothing could turn him back. He was sure of his God. Trust in the Lord. Paul knew all about it. He had no sponsors that were helping him along. He had no people that were protecting him from scourgings and beatings and all the rest. It was God alone. And that was all he needed. So, when he says this, remember that he is not just talking. He is speaking to us about a life that he lived in what we would regard as the harshest of conditions, in the midst of suffering, trials, difficulties, and nothing discouraged him. Why? Because he was doing God's will. He was on God's pathway. He was sure of it, and there was no turning back. He was resting in the power of God. So when he says, trust in God, he's not just talking. He's living it. Every day he lived it. And he's encouraging us to that same faith, that same serene trust in God. Circumstances don't matter. They'll change. The opposition of people doesn't matter either. They may well change also. But God never changes. He was the sole help of the Apostle Paul. He may be the only help you can think of right now. That's all you need. He alone is able to accomplish His purpose through you. And so, all of these verses say the same thing. Trust in the Lord. That's absolutely everything. If you are trusting in Him, on His pathway, obeying His word, He will bless your steps. And He will protect you. And He will accomplish His will through you. And He will do it as long as He pleases. Friends, you never have to worry if you are in the will of God, traveling on His pathway in submission to His word. His presence is with you. His power will uphold you. His grace is sufficient for all your needs. Do you need something? Ask Him. He has it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In this quiet moment, for all of us, think of what you need from God and ask Him for that exact help. O Lord, how we thank Thee that Thou art all sufficient, that Thy word is a sufficient guide for all our steps, that Thy grace is a sufficient power for all our service and all our traveling. We pray that Thou wilt help each one here to rest in Thy presence and follow Thy word with faith and confidence, trusting in Thee for every step of the path. By Thy grace, Lord, bring us all safely home in Jesus. Amen.